The scripture is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears, their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may conform to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me, please? Oh, gracious God, through me or in spite of me, in the next few moments there in this place this morning, burn truth to the very center of our hearts. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's not an easy walk. Matthew 5:38 says, "Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Matthew 19:21, as Jesus met the rich young ruler, that one who thought he had all the answers, and Jesus gives him the instructions, "Go ye therefore, if you wish to be perfect, go, sell all you got, give it to the poor, then come, follow me." 2 Corinthians 13:9, as Paul is writing about the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and encouraging the leaders of the church to grow into the likeness of the apostolic witness itself, Paul writes this word, "This is what we daily pray for, that you may become perfect." You see, we the church have one job and one job only, and that is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Make disciples for Jesus Christ. Well, what in the world is a disciple? I go back to that little 12-year-old girl some 36, 37 years ago who told me out at Camp Sumatonga, as I was struggling with that and I had all the answers, that a disciple was someone who walked, talked, and looked, and loved like Jesus. A disciple is someone who walks, talks, and loves like Jesus. We could say in today's world that a disciple is anyone who is following Jesus by the life that one lives. But regardless of what we say, this thing about becoming like Christ and following Jesus and doing the things that Jesus would do and becoming to the world the very hands and feet and mind and mouth of Jesus, especially when it comes to mercy and justice and those kinds of issues, has been the call of the church since apostolic times. The call of the church, the mission of the church, the reason why we are here, the why of our existence is to make disciples of Jesus Christ by witnessing to others and attracting others by the very lives that you and I live. Now, got a problem with that? Let me give you a couple of references. The Apostle Paul, in the text today, says, "Become imitators of Jesus." And Paul even went further. If you got any trouble with this, bold Paul, watch me. Just follow how I do it. Now, I'm not quite that bold, but Paul was. Be imitators of Christ because I'm going to do it. I'm going to sell out for the gospel. Thomas Aquinas wrote a book that has been a classic for centuries, Imitation of Christ. And in that book, Thomas Aquinas laid out, and it's been heralded by every religious leader, Christian religious leader, who has walked the face of the earth, a couple of critics along the way, who didn't think that was quite possible, but by far the preponderance of scholarship has followed that little book, written by Thomas Aquinas centuries ago, with the disciplines of how we intentionally adopt into our own lives the practices, the behaviors, the thoughts, the love, the call of Jesus, has stood as a classic through the ages. Fast forward to the 1920s. A guy named Charles Shelton, anybody ever heard of a book called What Would Jesus Do? Transformed a church. Absolutely transformed a church by getting his church to agree in a meeting where they all voted and said, we will not make a single decision as a church until we answer the question, what would Jesus do? This thing about imitating Christ is not as threatening as what we sometimes like to make it out. But really, it's not so much threatening as it is resistance. I don't want to do a lot of what it would take to look like Jesus. Yet, even though the call of the church is to become a disciple in the image of Christ, I would ask you this past week, how many people walked up to you in this past week and said, excuse me, but for a moment I thought you were Jesus? More important is the question, in the coming week and in the coming weeks, will there be anyone who will walk up to you and say, wow, you were Jesus to me. You were Jesus to me when I was hungry. You were Jesus to me when I was lost. You were Jesus to me when I was naked. You were Jesus to me when I lost the love of my life and my heart was breaking. You were Jesus to me when I was sick. You sent me a card in the hospital, and you don't know how much that meant. It was as if God Himself had written me a note. See, folks, we make it a whole lot harder than it really is. How many of you have had your lives touched by someone who stumbled in to an act of kindness, mercy, or love that made you feel the presence of Jesus? You know, we do it. Why don't we do it more often? Why don't we knowing what we felt in our lives from time to time, be more empathetic to others and reach out to them in some way that is true to us? Why don't we? Because we don't really try. Because it's easier to deny the call than it is to answer the call. It takes a little boldness, does it not, to walk up to someone or send somebody a note and say, I love you in the name of Jesus. I'm with you. Here's my phone number. If you need me anytime, call me, because guess what might happen? They just might call. I'd love to have lunch with you. When? They might just take you up on the invitation. We don't do it because we're so busy doing other things. So I've got a question for you this morning. What if during Lent, this time that's set aside, we really tried to act like Jesus? What if we really tried to make like Jesus? It would require only a couple of things. I think the first thing it would require is we make a commitment. We make a commitment that we will try to understand others before we start trying to fix others. Anybody understand that? That we'll try to understand where they are, where they're coming from, why they're coming from there, before we start trying to fix them and impart our answer into their lives. Maybe we might try to love others before we push them out as opposition. Yesterday, I told Richard this morning out in the choir room, yesterday I'm down in Montgomery and I'm with a bunch of guys getting ready for an Emmaus walk. And there's a talk in Emmaus called Means of Grace. And in that talk in Emmaus, we deal with baptism and communion. And it hit me yesterday, and I told those men that baptism and communion are two sacraments and are ordinances, you know, means of grace, that are practiced by every denomination of Christian, almost every denomination of Christians on the face of the earth. They are the things that demonstrate our vehement agreement that Jesus Christ is Lord and He died on the cross for us. But yet, because of the different theologies on baptism and communion have become two of the most divisive issues on the face of the earth among Christians. How is it that those things that we hold most dear in common are so divisive? Could it be that we're trying to win and prevail on our perspective instead of just saying, oh, it's not the way I see it, but I love you as a brother and sister in Christ. Things of the world aren't going to matter. Only the things of God are going to matter. So could we make a commitment to understand each other and understand others before we start trying to fix others and understand others so that we can love others? Could we make a second commitment that we're going to give our life to Christ? Not before you go running off on me and running out the door. We're going to give our life to Christ. But let's not start with 24/7. I'm going to ask you to do this. Start with 5 minutes a week. Start with 5 minutes a week. For 5 minutes every week, I am going to devote my undivided attention to doing something that Jesus would do. Just 5 minutes. Make a phone call to somebody that you know needs a phone call. Send somebody a note that you know needs a note. Or just say something kind to a clerk in a store or somebody you bump into in public. Just 5 minutes a week, commit that we will try to be Jesus, to imitate Jesus in the life of someone else. And who knows, little by little, 5 minutes becomes six, six becomes seven, minutes become hours, hours become days, days become years, and who knows but one day we might bear to the world the image of Christ. But it takes a commitment to give at least a little bit to start with. And thirdly, I move from commitment to conviction. I would like for each one of you today to think about joining me in an effort. This Lent, I studied so hard this year trying to get ready for Lent that I decided I wasn't going to give up anything for Lent. Some of you have heard me tell this. I've decided I ain't going to give up nothing for Lent, because this year, God has impressed upon me, I am a child of God. Heck with the things of this world. If I'm a child of God, I'm an heir to the kingdom. If I'm a child of God, I'm a child of the King. I don't have to give up anything. I just have to let the things of this world keep distracting me, quit distracting me from who I am and whose I am. I just need to let this world's garbage drop by the wayside. And every time somebody does something to discourage me or disappoint me or hurt me, I'm going to say, "Woo! I'm a child of God." I would invite you to make a conviction deep within your heart to realize who you are and whose you are. You are not of this world. Last night, that was so beautiful as I was getting Amos up with Terry up out of bed so he could go in and we could tell him that Barbara had died, so that he could be with Barbara just a few moments. I realized in that moment, things of this world are temporal. Things of this world are not going to last. So why do we let them drag us down so often and so deeply? We are not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from heaven where comes our hope and our deliverance. Our hope and our deliverance is not of this world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think it's time we remembered we're the children of God and began to act like Him. And it begins with walking, talking, and loving like Jesus, maybe just 5 minutes a day. And for you and me here today, it begins right here. As we come and we take the bread and we take the cup and we remember that we are those creatures created in the image of God for whom God so loved that He didn't want to be God without us. And He came and died so that we might be restored and that we might forever remember we are loved. And may you who have ears to hear, hear.